Open up your Bibles with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And the title of this message is The First Requirement to Understand the Bible. The First Requirement to Understand the Bible. And I'll just give it to you from the very start. But first, let me ask you to see if you know the answer. What is the first requirement to understand the Bible? The first step, the first condition that you need to meet if you are going to understand the Bible? What is it? Who wants to tell me?
Prayer.
Okay, prayer.
Fear the Lord.
What's that?
Fear the Lord.
Okay, what else?
Salvation and the Holy Spirit.
That's it. That's it. All right, so prayer and the fear of the Lord, you need those things to understand the Bible. But even before that, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. You need to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Listen, if God's Spirit does not dwell in you, if you have not been born again, if you are not saved, you will never understand this book. In fact, this book will make no sense to you, ultimately. But if you have been born again, the Holy Spirit will then open your eyes to understand the Word and will now begin to apply what you learn in the Bible to your life. Listen, guys, you've been studying this book on how to study the Bible for the past 5 weeks or so. I think this is the fifth week. And yet you have to understand, you can study about how to study the Bible all you want, and you can study the Bible your entire life. If you have not been born again, you will not understand the Bible. All right? You will not understand the Bible. Your life will not be changed if you have not been born again. You will not understand the ultimate theme of the Bible and accept and receive and believe what you are reading. You need to be born again. That's the first step in understanding the Bible. And I want to show you this reality from 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. And so I hope you're there already. Let's see how this book teaches us this reality, that the first requirement to understand the Bible is salvation, being indwelled by the Holy Spirit. So chapter 1, let's start in verse 18. I don't have any headings for you. I just want to walk through the passage to see this reality. Verse 18 of chapter 1, it says, "For the word of the cross," so speaking of the gospel revealed in the word of God, the word of the cross, notice this, "is foolishness." The word of God is foolishness, he says. And then foolishness, we have to understand, that word comes from moros, from which we get the word moron. So the word of the cross is moronic. It is foolishness to whom? Well, keep reading. It is foolishness to those who are perishing. Who are those people? To those who are perishing.
Unbelievers.
Unbelievers. That's exactly right. It is foolishness to unbelievers. The gospel, the word of God, is foolishness to every unbeliever in the world. Keep reading. But to us who are being saved, that's speaking of everyone who has been saved. It says being saved because our salvation is not complete until glorification. But the point is, to those who are saved, this is not foolishness, but it is, it says, the power of God. So to the whole world, to every unbeliever, the Bible and the message of the Bible is foolishness, but to us it is the power of God. The power of God in what sense? In that it shows us the power of God to save. The power of God to save. That's what it is. And so you begin to see from the very beginning, guys, if you're going to understand the Bible, you need to be born again. Because the entire world, in their unbelief, will regard the Bible as foolishness. In their spiritual state of being dead spiritually, they can't understand the Bible. They can't love the Bible. They can't obey the Bible. It's foolishness to them. Now jump to verse 22. Paul says the same thing again in different words. 22, it says, "For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks search for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block and to Gentiles," again, foolishness. So the whole world, in all their wisdom, in all their intelligence, is marching downhill with one accord on their way to hell, having deemed the Bible as foolishness. Say, God would never actually author the gospel. Because God would never come to the world in the flesh and die for sinners. Not only that, but we would never need such a savior. That's foolishness. That's folly. That doesn't make sense. We're not that bad. That's just dumb. That's the way you're going to be saved? Really? God has to come in and die for you? That makes no sense. That's what they will say. Verse 24. By the way, notice, it says it's a stumbling block. These people got offended. The world gets offended at the gospel. The world gets offended at the Bible. Because they have too high a view of themselves. They don't need the gospel. They get offended if you tell them, you're a sinner on your way to hell. It's a stumbling block. Verse 24, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, so to those who are saved, the gospel and the word of God are not foolishness, but what is it? It is Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Again, the power of God to save, and then the wisdom of God in that, I mean, the gospel, the message of the Bible. By the way, the message of the Bible is the gospel, that God is redeeming a people for himself, for his son, to his son, for his son, through his son, to his own glory. There you go, I got it right. That's the message, the gospel. The message of the Bible is the gospel. It's the wisdom of God to believers, because we say, man, it's a masterpiece. Like, no one in this world could ever come up with such an incredible way of being saved. There is no other way but the gospel. I've heard a preacher say, this was a long time ago, he said something like this: all of us who could go inside of one room and stay there 10,000 years trying to come up with a way to save humanity, no one would ever come up with the plan of salvation. Everyone would come up with the same thing: works. Works. But the only way to be saved is for God to enter the world, live the life we never lived, and die and take the wrath of God that we deserve. No one would ever come up with that. This is a masterpiece. It's the wisdom of God to us. While the whole world says this is folly, we say, no, no, this shows the amazing mind of God. And then in the next couple of verses, Paul talks about predestination, but then we get to chapter 2, and Paul begins to describe the wisdom of the word of God preached to believers. So let's start in verse 7 of chapter 2. Verse 7 of chapter 2 says this: but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom, notice this, which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What's he saying? Saying, listen, we preach you the word of God, which the smartest people in this world never understood. The smartest people, the rulers, the philosophers, the wise people of this world did not understand the message of the Bible. If they had understood it, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus, because they would have concluded that he was God in the flesh. And so again, I go to the same point. Well, it's the point I'm trying to show you in this text, and we're going to get to more of that at the end of this chapter. The point is, the first requirement of understanding the Bible is you need to be born again. What Paul keeps saying is no one understands the Bible. No one, no unbelieving mind understands, obeys, receives the Bible. It is foolishness to them. And so he says it again: none of the rulers of this age has understood it. Verse 9, but just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Now stop there. Man, people love this text. And they're like, whew. Like, isn't it amazing? Like, can you imagine all the things in heaven prepared for us? No, you can't imagine it, because it says that no eye has seen it, no ear has heard of it. You can't even imagine what God has prepared for us in heaven. But it's like, that's not what the text is talking about. The text is talking about what God has revealed to believers in his word. Let me show you that in verse 10. So it says, all these wonderful things, the plan of salvation in the word of God, verse 10, for to us, to believers, God revealed them. What is it, them? The stuff in verse 9. The plan of salvation in the word of God, God has revealed that to us. Now notice this, through the Spirit. And so it's saying the wisest people in the whole world could not understand the Bible. They could not understand the plan of salvation. But to us, God has revealed and given us understanding of his plan of the Word of God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That's a lot of words right there. Let me say it again in different words. I'm just going to keep repeating the same thing to make it clear. Unbelievers, they can't understand the Bible. Okay? Can't understand the Bible. They can't understand the plan of salvation, but God has revealed to every believer the plan of salvation through the Bible. But the only way to understand that plan of salvation, the only way to understand the Bible is, it says, through the Spirit. And then Paul begins to talk about this understanding of the Word of God that we can have through the Holy Spirit. Keep reading. Verse 10. It says, "For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God." He's saying this, who can know the thoughts of a man but the man himself? Can you read minds? Raise your hand if you can read minds. No one. Okay. No one can read minds. That's the point. And so in the same way, he's saying, how can anybody know the thoughts of God but the Spirit of God? Right? You can't read my mind in the same way you can't read the mind of God, but who knows the mind of God? The Spirit of God. Just like your soul, in a sense, your mind, your thoughts, you know what you think about even if nobody knows it. In the same way, the Spirit of God knows what God thinks about because it's the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of God. And so that's the point. Verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God." And why have we received the Holy Spirit? Keep reading. "So that we may know the things freely given to us by God." He's saying this. At salvation, when you were saved, if you have been saved, you received the Holy Spirit so that now you can read your Bible and you can understand it. And you can know the mind of God. You can now understand what it is that God thinks, what it is that God loves. You can understand who God is because the Holy Spirit indwells you. So now you have the mind of God. And Paul finishes with the same thing he started. Verse 14, it says, "But a natural man," meaning an unbeliever, an unconverted man, again, "does not accept the things of the Spirit of God." So in other words, the unbeliever does not receive, does not accept, does not welcome the Word of God. Why? Keep reading. "For they are foolishness to him." And why are the things in the Bible foolishness to this unbeliever? Keep reading. It says, "Because he cannot understand them." He can't understand them. And so again, guys, an unbeliever cannot understand the Bible. And why is that? Well, keep reading. By the way, when I say keep reading, I mean keep reading. Like, read it with me. Read it with me. "Because they," so the things written in the Bible, "are spiritually appraised." What's the point? The only way to understand the Bible is by having the author of the Bible indwell you. This is a spiritual book. You will not understand spiritual truths unless the author, the Holy Spirit, dwells inside of you to help you understand them. That's the point. And so, if you're going to understand them, you need to be saved. Listen, guys, unbelievers can understand certain things about the Bible. They can understand the stories. They can understand that Noah built an ark and that Jonah was swallowed by a big fish and that Moses split the Red Sea. But the main theme, the gospel of salvation, they can't understand it and they can't love it and they cannot obey it. They will not get to it as they study the Bible because all of those things are spiritually appraised. I once heard a story of a Christian who was evangelizing, and the guy he was evangelizing, the unbeliever, he was just, he kept going against them because he could not believe that Jonah could be swallowed by a big fish. He just kept going, I know you want to share the gospel with me, but this makes no sense to me. Like, it's not scientifically possible. There's no way. And the Christian had actually studied that text before, and he had all these scientific proofs of how it is possible for a person to be swallowed by a whale or by a big fish. But he says that instead of presenting those proofs, he just kept pressing on the gospel. Every time he would say something about Jonah and the fish or anything else, he would just say, so tell me, how are you going to do when you face God on Judgment Day? How are you going to be saved? Like, what are you going to do about your sin? You know? And he kept going and going and going. And in the end, this unbeliever was saved. And he believed in the gospel. And so the guy says that after he had believed, after this very long conversation, then he said, oh, and by the way, with regard to Jonah and the fish, would you like to talk about that now? And he was like, the new convert said, oh, there's no need. The Bible says it, so I believe it. It's like that simple. The Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit indwells a person, now that person can have faith in the Word. Now that person can be changed by the Word. Now that person can obey the Word. Before that, there's no way. Now, I'm not telling you not to go looking for proofs, you know, and things that back up the reality of the Bible, the things that the Bible says, but you shouldn't do it because you doubt the Bible, but because you know the Bible is true and you know you're going to find those realities, those proofs because of your conviction of the Word of God. My point is this, guys, without being indwelled by the Spirit, this text says there's no way you're understanding, you will ever understand the Bible. There's no way the Bible will change you. You need to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit. So let's finish the text, verse 15. It says, but he who is spiritual appraises all things. So it's saying he or she, the Christian, who has the Holy Spirit indwelling him or her, that person understands all things in the Bible, all things in life. This is a spiritual person who understands spiritual things. Of course, that takes maturity and growing up. But with time, you'll become more mature if you are saved and you'll understand, you'll appraise all things. Yet he himself is appraised by no one, it says. Meaning unbelievers can't understand this Christian. Unbelievers can't understand the Christian's faith, the Christian's convictions, the Christian's obedience, the Christian's life. Unbelievers can't understand spiritual things because they don't have the Holy Spirit. And then Paul continues talking about the unbeliever in the last verse, verse 16. He says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? What unbeliever has ever known the mind of God? What's the answer? No one. But in contrast to them, it says we have the mind of Christ. So they don't know the mind of God, but we, true believers, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. How do we have the mind of Christ? Come on, people. You got it. How do we have the mind of Christ? Through the Bible. Good job. Exactly. We have the mind through the mind of Christ through the Bible. As we read the Bible, we get to find out what God is like. We get to have the mind of Christ as the Holy Spirit illumines our understanding. But if you're an unbeliever reading the Bible, you're not going to have the mind of Christ. It's not going to be revealed to you because, again, you don't have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Let me finish with a weird illustration because why not? Sometimes I wake up in the morning with a memory of something that happened a long time ago. I don't know why, but it happens to me. And so this morning at like 5:50, I woke up with a memory of something that happened like 19 years ago. I was probably like 7 years old, seriously. Like that's the first thing that came to my mind. And I remember being about 7 years old, and I was at this camp, after school camp. I was playing outside, and it started sprinkling outside. But there were no clouds. And me and my friends, we started talking about that. Like, it's raining, but there's no clouds. And one girl stood up and she said, oh, it's raining, but there's no clouds. You know what that means, right? And I'm like, no. Like, what does it mean? And she was like, it means that God is sad. Oh, God is sad. And like, I took note of that. Like, I thought, oh, man, like, this, she knows what she's talking about. And then I went home, I told my dad, and he's like, no, it doesn't mean God is sad. It means God is happy because he's watering the plants. And so I come out from that this morning. I was literally thinking that before knowing I was going to teach on this, okay? It's the providence of God. I was thinking, like, this morning, who do I believe? Like, who was I supposed to believe? All these people claim to know the mind of God. They claim to know what makes God happy or what makes God sad. Everyone has opinions about how God is. But who do you believe? How can you actually get to the mind of God? Through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. We have the mind of God. We have the mind of Christ in His Word. You can know what makes Him happy or sad, what He loves, what He hates. You can know the mind of God in His Word if you have the Holy Spirit. Now, let me ask you, do you have the Holy Spirit? Have you been indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Have you been changed? Has your heart been transformed? Do you now desire to obey? Do you get convicted by your sin? Do you desire to read your Bible? Do you desire to come to church because you want to actually honor and worship God? Because otherwise, you won't understand the Bible. And in the end, you'll go to hell without knowing Him. And so you need to be indwelled by the Holy Spirit. You need to be born again. And you can be born again if you believe in Christ and repent of your sins, that God is holy, that you are sinful, that because He is holy and you have sinned against Him, you deserve hell. And yet God loved the world so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross, God in the flesh, to take your place, to take the wrath of God that you deserved, so that if you believe in Him, if you believe that He did what He says He did, that He died for you so that you would not have to die, so that you would not have to go to hell. If you believe that and you go to God and say, Lord, forgive me, I have sinned against you, save me. If you do that, you will be saved and the Holy Spirit will indwell you and you will understand the Bible and you'll be transformed by the Bible. Only then will you understand the Bible and will the Bible do anything in your life. Otherwise, it's just judgment, guys. Examine your heart, guys. Have you been born again? Let's pray to the Lord that He would give us understanding, first of all, if anyone here has not been born again, and then secondly, understanding of His Word for everybody who is saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. It is amazing. We thank You that You have given it to us. You have given us Your mind, the revelation of who You are through Your Word, through the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask You, convict anybody here who does not know God, who has not placed their faith in Christ. Convict them. May they hate their sin. May they see that they are walking on a spider web over the precipice that leads straight to hell. And at any moment they could die and go straight to hell. But it is because of Your grace and Your mercy that You keep them alive. May they believe in You. May they be saved. And Holy Spirit, I pray that You would please give us illumination that we may understand the mind of Christ, and that we, our minds could reflect the mind of Christ, that we would be more obedient, that we would stand in awe of what You have to say in Your Word, that we would stand in awe of the gospel, which is the power and wisdom of God. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.